Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! 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 Let
me talk! One, two, three, four!
Welcome to Let Me Talk. This is another edition from Inside the Etihad, straight after City have beaten Aston Villa 4-1. I'm David Mooney, joined as ever by the Athletic's City correspondent, Sam Lee.
Hello.
Overall vibes then from the game. So you texted me on about 65, 70 minutes and said it'd be good to do it straight after the game with vibes like this. And then Guardiola took everybody off and it just kind of finished quite flatly. No. But up until then, it was really good.
Yeah, that's the best they've played in ages. And what I meant was, like, because I think at that point it was 2-1 and City were playing brilliantly. Like, even I was getting ready to kind of do a tweet at half time, even if it had been 1-1. I was like, they've been really good there. Like, I know people might have been grumbling a bit, and in the middle it went slightly off the boil after Villa scored. But I mean, even just in the first half, and even up until Foden scored his first goal from the free kick, I thought everyone played well. I thought whenever they lost the ball, the effort to go and win it back, the stuff that Guardiola really looks for, obviously what fans look for as well. But when Guardiola says, you know, I want to see my team, I see my players, all this kind of stuff, that was all there. I thought whenever Villa played through or around that counter press, it's because they did really well.
Yeah, it was two teams who were both actually playing quite well.
And I mean, it's difficult because, look, when City made those changes, you think, well, that'd be difficult. And then you see Villa's team and you think, okay, well, they've made loads of changes and they don't have the quality to bring in that City do. But Villa still played really well. I thought they were, basically, Villa played really well, but City were just unbelievable. It was almost like last season or whatever, at their best, where it was just like, I don't care how well you're playing, we're winning this match.
Yeah, yeah.
And compared to Arsenal at the weekend, when, you know, I said, it didn't even have the feeling there was going to be a goal, let alone like,
The
onslaught's come in, City are going to do it. It never felt like that. And you think, that's when you start to think, are they going to click? Is it missing compared to last season? And then the documentary's been out this week and everyone's reminded of how good last season was. And you just go, yeah, they're not that. Like, they haven't got that. But this, and again, yeah, okay, like, it was Villa's, like, heavily rotated team. But they were defending really well. And City were still creating really good chances in the first half. They were counter-attacking really well. They were getting out of City's counter press,
yeah,
which was excellent, very well. But City were just like,
sorry,
we're not having
yeah,
it. We're not
us,
having
sorry.
It. We're winning this tonight.
It's funny you mentioned the documentary, actually, because I've been watching bits of that today in the build up to this game. And you know how I found it? There's a little bit of revisionism in there, in the sense of the number of people who kept talking about, oh, well, you knew the treble was on, you knew this was on at various points. And I remember thinking, they got to that Forest game, and I remember thinking, like, it still wasn't on at that point. And then that's when the performances turned. I've just got to the bit where it was Leipzig and Burnley and Liverpool and that sort of thing. And, like, it's one game. We can't talk about that being the click sort of thing. But this was the sort of performance after the point it changed. You know what I mean? And, like you look back at Arsenal, maybe it's too late given that they've got two title challenges this year, given, you know, all the other factors we've talked about endlessly all season. But maybe this is just kind of the strong finish to this season beginning now, and I don't know if I'm reading too much into a one night that you know, straight off the back of a game where they played really well,
yeah,
sort of thing. But it just felt a bit different.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm in the middle of writing my article now for The Athletic, and it's like, I don't want to do the whole Yeah, you know, I was pretty measured after the Arsenal game in terms of the article, at least, with, you know, this is their record against the top teams. You know, they're not actually playing any more top teams.
Oh, they've beaten one really. As well, yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. But they're not, apart from, you know, Villa and then the Spurs game, the rest are against teams that they've beaten anyway, so it might not matter, blah, blah, blah. But obviously, just the feeling overall was just a bit flat, wasn't it? Like, okay, we're not really sure what to expect from this team. So I don't want to go too far the other way and be like, okay, they're brilliant, because, and I've said this, like, they're not. It's not like they're inconsistent. It's not like we're thinking, oh, they'll go and drop points next week. You know, that Forest game, I remember after City beat Arsenal in February, I was like, oh, they'll lose at Forest, and then, like, they drew. And, like, they shouldn't have, but they did. And you just think, well, this is where it's going. They're not inconsistent. They haven't lost in 4 months. But you just think, are they as good as last season? And if they're not, will they have enough to win stuff? And like I said the other day, if they don't win anything this year, at this point anyway, it's not going to be a disgrace.
Yeah.
Like, they've not been awful. They just haven't been as good. But yeah, like last season, I think it was after the Burnley game, so they hadn't even had the Liverpool game at that point. And obviously I hate all the treble talk and people taking it for granted and stuff. But after that Burnley game, I was like, I wrote an article saying, it's a surprise people haven't talked about the treble, because you can just always guarantee it. And, you know, there was a time then when people were talking about United doing a quadruple, which seems mental now. But that proves the point of how people just talk about trebles, quadruples in the media.
So easily.
So easily. But they weren't doing it about City, because it just didn't have that feeling. And after that Burnley game, I was kind of like, come on, I start talking about it now. I had that feeling. And now, again, I'm kind of wary. I'm kind of wary that...
It's one game.
Where is it going to go
next?
They
played well. It's one game.
There's no guarantees. But this was the kind of thing where... Well, basically... If you just look at it as 90 minutes, you go, that was it. You know, that was the best they've played in a long time. It wasn't this, obviously. You can't compare it to this, but it reminded me of the Real Madrid game. Mm. It was just relentless.
I know what
you mean. Quality was there. The effort was there. For the most part, the fans were obviously, the bit in the middle where it went off the ball in the first half, the fans were like, come on, which I get. But it was like, that was really, really good. And there was a lot of control in it. There wasn't too many stupid decisions, it seems like. At some point, after about 3-1, Guardiola was like, the spaces are wide, and then Rodri started banging balls out to the wing. I mean, like I said in the first half, individually everyone was great. They signed Doku to play on the right wing, and there you can see why tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this, before Ortega's really good save, it was Doku losing the ball kind of stupidly in the box. Again, two players tried to close the guy down. Can't remember who it was.
It's Foden and Doku. Foden was one of them.
And they tried, but Villa's played a really good ball between the two of them, and then they were through. But like, they were kind of rare events, and they were dangerous events, because Villa were really good at that. But again, City just went, no, we're not having it. And like, just everyone was good. Like, everyone was good. And like, even Akanji was good, apart from for the goal. I don't know what he thought he was doing. It was a bit like Walker against Chelsea, when he was like, oh, I'll just go over there and stop that. It's like, well, who's in your position, mate? There was a bit of that, which was unusual, but he was really good apart from that. Duran is not easy to win headers against. Like, he's just an absolute unit. But Akanji was really good at that. Diaz was too when he was on him. I mean, we're going down, look, the pure vibes, no structure, individual. But like Rico Lewis, we were talking about Lewis being man of the match. Obviously, yeah. Foden clearly got it, but Lewis was amazing.
I don't know if it's just contrarian to say that Lewis still should have got it after Foden scores the hat-trick that he scores. But it's like, well, we will come to Foden. But I did say to you about, well, at 2-1, I keep an eye on Lewis. I really want to talk about him. So let's talk about him, because like the thought I had, Sam, was, you know, Rodri aside, he looked the most experienced player on the pitch.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's really, really weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was good against Arsenal, and people obviously said he was very good against Arsenal, but I thought he was good for what he did, but he didn't, I don't remember him having like a major involvement. You know, like I said at the weekend, he wasn't got at by any of the Arsenal wingers. When he had the ball inside, he looked very good, but he didn't have it a lot. Not like tonight, but he was on it all the time. Early on, they were quite direct. I tweeted early in the game that like they were trying to play through balls and behind to Alvarez, and it was like, what must Haaland be thinking? But that link-up was really good. That was often Lewis driving that. The little touches, obviously he would have given the ball away, but it felt like very, very rarely, considering how much he had it. In terms of the atmosphere in the crowd and the crowd feeding off the performance, there was a bit just down on the left touchline in the second half when I think he lost it, but he just kept sliding in to win it back, and he was backed up by like at least two City players. One of the City goals, was it for the 3-1? The ball got cleared down and Diaby had it, and Guardiola, and another came over, Diaz maybe, came over to win it back off him, gave it to Grealish, and they started again. And that was it. When Rodri was like, because when Rodri had the ball and he was running towards the box for the third goal, I was thinking, he's obviously going to want to pass this, but there's nobody there. but he somehow just kind of like he overstepped the ball to wait for Foden to open up or either the pass to be on, and obviously Foden swept into the corner. It was, again, it was just one of those nights where there was effort and there was quality, and again the documentary kind of parallels are going to be inevitable, but like when he was in tears after the Fulham game because of how well they played, I'm not saying he's going to be in tears about this, but
bawling his eyes out in the dressing room at the moment.
But
yeah,
when they've got another documentary, I think he'll be. And look, we're not going to see the press conference because we've had to do this straight after to balance work and everything. So the press conference has got to be the thing missing out. Don't tell my employers. But I'm sure he will be fucking delighted, and I think behind the scenes even more so.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, when he says I want to see my team, as a mate said to me on WhatsApp, this is exactly it.
Yeah. Although we said that after the Spurs game last season, and he wasn't impressed.
Well, no, exactly. We were convinced. And in fact, we started recording, didn't we? I think, did we even say, we'd be very happy with that? And he was not. But again, and this is it. So in terms of not wanting to get carried away with stuff, they had that Spurs comeback last season, then they lost. They had that the Arsenal win, then they drew. And you could never be sure. And it was only, I don't know, I mean, I can't remember if it ever felt inevitable. But obviously, watching the documentary, it was they were just swiping teams aside. But it was only probably into April, May time when it was like, yeah, this is a city you can rely on. And I'm probably still at that kind of March last year period of, that was great, I'm not sure what's around the corner.
It was the 1st of April, I think, when they played Liverpool last season. So it's a lot later than you think.
Yeah, but this is even later. Yeah. I mean, I know it's like literally on the calendar 2 days, but just because... But I mean, in terms of like, that was the first game back from the international break. And I think I might have said this on the podcast after the Arsenal game, but it's like, it's still, or maybe I said it before in the preview, like maybe they lose and they click afterwards. That's not impossible. But obviously, because they came back from the international break, they'd scored, what, 7 against Leipzig, six against Burnley. But Haaland got, how much did Haaland got in those two games? Like 8 or something
three
like that?
Eight, 3 and 5, yeah.
And you think, okay. And then they batter Liverpool. You think, okay, this could be it. Guardiola had said, you know, I feel like we're ready to go on a run, which is rare, as we talked about a lot. But obviously this year they come back from the international break and then they do that against Arsenal and you think, yeah, I don't know, but like there is no guarantee that they won't click afterwards, and like I say, I don't want to get carried away. Also, I don't feel like I can get carried away, but this is exactly what you need. If you were thinking where City season going, this is exactly what you needed. And look, we'll see what happens at Palace, we'll see what happens against Real Madrid.
I think the thing to take
like,
from
can,
it
can they yeah. go to Real Madrid and do what they did last year? Are they stable enough to do that? I'm not sure. But if they've got these kind of effort levels at least. But again, if you're getting counter-attacked like that against Real Madrid, you're going to have trouble. So,
well, the thing, the difference is, and you look at, I mean, I was using Lewis there as kind of like the key man to focus in on, but you look at the way the back four were shaping up, and they were doing the thing where Lewis steps aside and Akanji kind of moves across, makes it back three, all that sort of stuff. But it's like, it just felt a lot more fluid and natural than it has done in the last few weeks. And you imagine if Kyle Walker was fit, he'd have played.
Yeah.
So, like, kind of Guardiola's hand was forced to do that and forced in his selection. But then Lewis comes in and puts in that performance. Yeah. And it, like, you just kind of wonder, like, are they in the mode of just going, well, we might have this setback, but we just have to deal with it, so get on with it.
Yeah, well, there is obviously a large element of that, because sometimes when City are miles ahead in the league, they can rest players in the league for the Champions League. But sometimes, like last season, they've just gone, well, we're just going to have to battle through everything. Yeah, yeah. But there was, in terms of Lewis and playing, obviously last season, you know, he made that step, and then Guardiola was almost like he taught the others how to do it, but then yeah, they got more experience and seniority and bigger and whatever. So they played. There was a point in the first half, and I was like, would it be different now? Like, if Lewis can play like this all the time, could he actually play in the run-in, whereas last time he dropped out? And again, probably not, just because of Walker coming back in.
Experience.
Even when if Stones had been fit, if Ake had been fit, maybe Akanji would have played right back and Lewis wouldn't have. So there were a lot of kind of dominoes that fell to get Lewis into the team. But you do think, watching him like that, you think, he didn't just stand in, like, he did something that those players who would have played right back tonight, apart from Stones when he
wouldn't
did it last
done,
season,
yeah.
wouldn't have done or couldn't have done. And again, okay, I know Villa had a changed team, but it is against one of the tougher teams you'll play in the Premier League, and they did still play well until City just went, no, forget it. And then, they just gave up there. But I don't know, there is an argument for Lewis. I'm definitely not getting carried away with this, because the chances are we won't see him too often.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a big argument there that you could look and you go, that's what we need there. And if Stones isn't available, okay, they've got the Walker going up the right and Guardiola going up the left, which is very good, or the potential to be very good. But Lewis doing that, it's almost like what Stones does.
Yeah.
You just think, that's really adding something. You know when Akanji does it, it's like, well, we need somebody to do this, so can you give it a go? But when Lewis does it, or at least when he did it tonight, it was like, yeah, that's actually adding value to that position. He's the only one who can do it other than Stones.
It's notable there as well that Akanji's available and he's got Lewis doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose, you know, with Villa having a couple of big guys up front, but certainly with Duran, you know, maybe a bit like the Champions League finals. Like, you stay there for the jewels. We don't want you switching around too much. I think there were obviously times when City lost the ball, which isn't Lewis's fault, because if you're losing the ball when you're building up and Lewis is in the middle, then he's going to have a problem getting back. But that's because City lost the ball when they shouldn't have. But yeah, I just thought he was just fantastic, really. Like, and also the link-ups with Foden, like in terms of like what the academy are producing, scary, really.
Yeah. Coming up after a short ad break, we'll talk more about the win against Villa. See you shortly.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials.
Let's look elsewhere in the pitch, because, I mean, we've mentioned him already. Rodri scored the opening goal. Should we do Rodri now, or should we actually come to Foden, given that he scored a hat-trick? I mean, that's the... Can you imagine all the listeners going, why are you talking about Rodri before Foden? But ahead of the hat-trick, I was watching Rodri in the game and thinking, you know what? Like, this is the difference between Villa Park and now. Like, you just look at how Villa were pressing and how City were getting out of it, and it was all down... Well, Lewis was a big part of it, but it was all down to Rodri and his acceptance of the pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Everything he did, I mean, as it often is, was under pressure, carrying it, laying it off. Like, that's how I thought about him on Sunday. Because, you know, there wasn't a lot of individual standout performances that were especially good, in an attacking sense anyway, against Arsenal. But with Rodri, like, there were times when it's like, I don't know, like, he'll position his body in a way to make the player think he's going to do something that makes him himself be under more pressure, but he knows, actually, I'm just going to give it back to the goalkeeper, and this guy's going to be completely out of the game.
It's not just like it's on the edge of the opposition box,
but
as well.
Like,
he kind of feigns the switch to one side to be able to switch into the other side.
He's under so much control of not just his own body, his own ability, but it's almost like he's controlling the opponents. Like, it's like
marionettes. Sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's almost like he's out of his own body, just that ability and the confidence to control your actions. To obviously, look, you can do a feint and you can make somebody go the other way, like Doku does all the time. But when Rodri does what he does, it's like he's just tricking them into going exactly where he wants them to. And he's like, I know what I'm going to do all along. Like, for us, like,
I wonder if he does.
I'm sure he definitely does.
But he might make the decision based on how the opponent reacts to what he's doing.
Yeah, I'm sure there's definitely an element of that. But I mean, there's time. I mean, you can see it when they win fouls as well. Like, I'm just going to step across here and win that. It's almost like he does that, but with the ball. So I'm going to do this. He's going to do that, and I'm just going to play it exactly where I want to anyway. Which is what I think he did with the assist for Foden, the second goal. Like I say, he just waited. He kind of overstretched it a bit, and it just developed in front of him. Like. But yeah, what you're saying about him tonight was what I was thinking about him on Sunday. Like I said, it's a bit of a cheat card. You could just come out of it and go, oh, wasn't Rodri good? But like, but he was.
He was, yeah.
Like, but again, in terms of, let's talk about Foden, like, that is what Rodri does all the time. And look, it's not what Foden does all the time, but bloody hell.
Well,
like, there's a growing body of evidence.
Yeah, here's a cheeky question though now, because obviously we talked about the decision to leave Foden on at Anfield and take De Bruyne off. And then after Arsenal, I don't know if you wondered, I certainly wondered if it might have been different if De Bruyne had come off and Foden had stayed on. And then you look at tonight, Foden starts the game, De Bruyne doesn't play any part of it, and it's quite easy to say De Bruyne has been injured, he needs to manage everything around him. And you know, you look at the end of the Arsenal game and he worked really hard to get to the point where he had done. But Foden comes in and does that.
Do you remember when we had the live show and the question was like, where does De Bruyne fit in when he plays? Because I was having a conversation with an Uber driver and some people were like, you know, Alvarez has been playing so well, De Bruyne might not get back in. But we all said that's nonsense, like De Bruyne is going straight back in. But now, and again, this is very much on the back of this, and to be fair, a few quite poor De Bruyne performances. But it is an interesting question now, isn't it? It is, okay, next game.
Are we watching?
Got the best performance. Well, no, again, the problem is, and the answer is, Foden's so versatile, you put him on the left or the right.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's say Bernardo's fit, Grealish is fit, Foden's fit, De Bruyne's fit.
It's not an easy answer.
But you know what the answer is? It's Bernardo in the middle with De Bruyne and Foden back out wide, probably on the right. But I think, this interesting question I've been dancing around, everyone knows what I'm going to say is, would you put De Bruyne or Foden in that position? Because it's not really going to be both. I know earlier in the season it was Foden and it was Alvarez. But, you know, since, like, recently, it hasn't been two more direct players in there. Unless, it's been both fullbacks wide and everyone just gets pushed into the middle fine. But, I don't know, it's very tempting now to be like, well, De Bruyne can feel his way back in and let Foden do that.
Because
if you're making allowances for a player who can make the difference, then let it be the one who's like banging for.
Who's making the difference at the moment? That's the thing. The cheeky question I was going to ask you, and I by no means expect you to commit to this at this stage, but are we witnessing like the passing of the baton?
Yeah. Well, again, Jim said that, didn't he? After City Tactics, he said it after Anfield when De Bruyne went off and Foden went into the middle, and we are witnessing it because. I mean, look, is Foden going to leave anytime soon? Wouldn't have thought so. Is he going to keep playing on the wing for the next two or three years? It's possible, isn't it? It is possible.
It's possible.
But I hope not. And therefore, is De Bruyne going to be, is he going to get a new contract at City? At the moment, I don't think it makes any sense for them to even have those talks. Might he go to Saudi Arabia in the summer? Maybe. So it might be a very abrupt passing of the torch. In terms of, in the summer when it's going to be Foden.
But we are
seeing it. I mentioned it after the Manchester derby. Like, obviously all the headlines are on Foden. But it's like, by the way, De Bruyne didn't play very well there. And Foden stepped up. And like, obviously, De Bruyne is not on the pitch now. And Foden's done his thing. And it is, and like, obviously the Anfield element, it wasn't quite so marked as Foden didn't score, didn't get hat-trick or anything. But it was like, De Bruyne was coming off. Foden went in to help them in those little spaces. It's what they need. We are seeing it. I definitely will commit to that. Like, because it's just a fact. Like, Foden's staying. Foden's not going anywhere. De Bruyne might be. Even if he's not going this summer, he's not going to be there forever. So we are seeing it. And like, look, I'm not writing off De Bruyne, because if he comes back and starts playing brilliantly, it will surprise nobody. But at the moment, he's not going to have it easy to get back into that role. Like, when he came back, it was like, right, move everyone out of the way, clear the decks, you know, Alvarez out of the way, everyone out of the way. It shouldn't be that at the moment. And again, even on Alvarez, just, you know, vibes like no structure. Look really good.
Yeah, looks all right.
I mean, again, you but score, I mean, a goal, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna come back to that because I think there's a bigger question that I want to ask around that. But, like, just sticking with Foden for the time being, you look at the performance he's put in, and we know we talked about the impact of that Palace game. Ironically, it's Palace at the weekend again. But we talked about the impact of that Palace game when you give the ball away in the middle, you give the penalty away, and you know, City basically drew a game that they should have won quite comfortably. And you watch his performances lately. You watch his performance this evening again with it's, what's his second hat trick of the season, where he's run the game in the way that he has. And it's just a little thing, but you watch his body language and you watch the way he's talking to other players. It's like some point this season the penny dropped and he kind of gets it and he gets what he has to do, and he's become a senior player in this team. And I mean, he's been in the fringes of the first team ever since Guardiola arrived. Was it 2016 when he first made the bench
on the Celtic
game?
Yeah.
So ever since Guardiola's first season, he's been involved around the first team. But it looks now as if he's, like, again, referring to the documentary, Rodri kept talking about taking the responsibility. That's what Foden's doing. And it's not just responsibility on the ball and knowing where he needs to be. It's telling everybody else where they need to be and where he wants them to be and manipulating it like that. And it's the most grown up I've ever seen him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you said it's like almost like the penny dropped. It did. It did after the Palace game. When he went to the Club World Cup, I just think that was the turning point. Like, I can't be doing this again. To be fair, I can't remember what it was, but he did something tonight that made me think,
there we are.
He hasn't fully learned. But there was something he did that was like, not...
Was it when he stepped out to the right, like Villa in on the flank for that break?
Maybe there was two. But, I mean, the point remains, it did click. And, you know, since then, because before that, the way Guardiola spoke about him in the middle, you know, everyone was pissed off with Southgate in that international break. Like, Guardiola always agreed with that. Mm. He's been saying it for years. And, like, not just, you know, not just in terms of, oh, he's too direct and therefore powers are blah, blah, blah. It was like, well, defensively, doesn't switch on enough, doesn't track the runners enough. We saw that loads. There was definitely a few notable examples earlier this season. The Wolves away was one. I think there was Red Star, but one of the home Champions League games was another one. Maybe Leipzig. But again, tonight, there was... Villa had a break in. Yeah, Grealish tracked him all the way back, which you'd expect. But Foden headed it away. And it's those things. Like, he's doing it more often. And then, since then, the way Guardiola was always like, yeah, you know, he's a free bird, you know, which isn't a compliment. He's a great player, but we can't really have him in there if he's going to do mad stuff. But since then, he's been like, he's the best player in the Premier League. He's winning games. Like, I've coached Messi and no one can compare to him. But he's winning games... You know, like for Messi did, and since that switch, Guardiola's spoken about him in a completely different way, and he's been playing him in the middle.
Just don't ask him about any books he's read recently.
Yeah, which was a mad thing to say, but like that penny did drop, that switch was turned on, and I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, the goal itself, everyone said it's like the Rooney one. You know, we're against Newcastle years ago.
They're
arguing with the ref as a jog up and then volleys it. The one I thought about was similar in terms of emotional frustration, but not the same annoyed with the ref. You know, when Aguero missed that sitter against Chelsea a few years ago, and then a few minutes later,
he just leathered it
into the top corner. We're just like, I'm not, you know, that was shit, let's do this properly. And like when Foden got fouled, I remember thinking, oh, he's going to score a hat-trick here, because I think he's just got that will around it. But I didn't know he was going to win it back immediately.
And then score a
hat-trick. And then when he lined it up, I was like, God, imagine he does this. And then it's like, fully top corner, goalkeeper going the wrong way.
There's an even better bit of that.
Like the fruit shoot advert. The goalkeeper was like, okay, where's he going to shoot?
The best bit about that is that, aesthetically, I thought the goal off the post, like, I love a goal off the post when it's like sometimes they can hit the post and go in badly, but that one hit the post and went in well. But I've decided, actually, aesthetically, the best goals are the ones where the keeper just goes, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
Stands there, just watches it go in, like, nah.
Which
I'm
was all of
that.
Them in tonight's case. And I don't know if you saw, I don't know if they showed it on the big screen, but like the look on Foden's face after he'd celebrated was kind of like, it was that smile as, I don't want to, I keep talking about my own fucking football career. As if, but you know, sometimes you do stuff good and you just like smile because you just think, I don't know how I did that. Like, I've got no right to do that. And the thing is, with phones, I can't work out if it was just like, that's gone well. You know, I've hit that and that's gone perfectly. Or it was just like, I am actually that good.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, not embarrassing, but it's like, what can you say? Like,
I just decided to do it.
It's awkward for me to be in this position because I'm a quiet lad. But oh, fuck me, I'm good. Like I don't know if it was that, but there was something in there. Like, what can you say? And again, what can you say about Foden at this point? Like, he just keeps doing that. Like the derby, the hat trick away. I mean, even the goal at Bournemouth, technically a match winning goal. But like, there's just a lot. We went back to Newcastle at the start of the season, first home game of the season when he did it. We were like, oh, it's a bit like De Bruyne does. And now, in terms of the passing of the torch, like it's fully on.
Yeah. Can I ask you, I mean, this is a podcast built on cheeky questions then so far, but can I ask you what your thoughts would be if I were to say that Guardiola would shape the team by having Foden where De Bruyne normally plays and it's De Bruyne that goes out wide?
Yeah, I've seen a bit of this and it strikes me a little bit of everyone trying to fit in their favourite players. Football doesn't always work like that,
right? Yeah,
and I feel like if De Bruyne is not playing well,
EAFC, sorry,
yeah, if De Bruyne is not playing well enough to start, don't force him in somewhere else. And look, if he is, fair enough. But do you not just think the balance of that is? Look, let's say De Bruyne is playing perfectly well enough to deserve to be in the team. Should we not just keep him where we know he's excellent, and Foden can play on the right wing? Where, by the way, wasn't he on the right wing and he scored those goals against United?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, he can be on the right wing and he can come inside somehow if they work it like that. Like, if we're going to be moving people around, well, in fact, no, let's not move people around. Foden can play on the right very well. If De Bruyne deserves to be in the team, keep him where he deserves to be. Don't start putting him on the right wing. And like, are we sure he can do that? Like, I know he has done that. Like, Pellegrini's first season he was there. But, like, I don't know, it feels like a different De Bruyne now. Like, this is just devil's advocate. Is there some kind of subtlety there about that position in terms of like, I don't know, in terms of the first pressing, he is good, but when it's like a counter press, like, I don't know, Foden's just a bit sharper with that. I don't know, I feel like it's overcomplicating it. I feel like it's everyone trying to find solutions. But I mean, yeah, just think of it this way: if De Bruyne deserves to play, put him where he deserves to play and where he's best. If he doesn't, forget it. Yeah, well, you shouldn't play there.
This is the end of the free version of Let Me Talk. Sam, members get a little bit more. What is in the members episode?
Yeah, we've got the realisation that Rodri actually passed to himself to be able to set up Foden for Foden's second goal. The big Haaland chat, obviously. Quite a bit on Grealish. And, yeah, a fitting end on Stefan Ortega.
If you want that, you can sign up lmtpod.com. That is for members. The free versions of Let Me Talk will be stopping at the end of April, so becoming a member will be the only way to listen to us after that. It's only £2 a month or £20 for the year. If you're listening to the free version, get over to lmtpod.com for all the information on how to sign up.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.